And to discuss all of that, we're joined now by Chad Hansen, who's a research ecologist for the director of the John Muir Project of Earth Island Institute. Chad, I hope I got your title right. Thanks so much for making some time for us tonight.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We appreciate you staying up and you're watching this as we are over the course of the evening, especially as we've been talking about what the Eaton Fire in Eaton Canyon. We have learned that John Muir, the namesake of your institute, was an avid hiker of the Eaton Canyon area and called it a difficult hike because of the topography. Talk about what your understanding of that region, the topography, and the fire that's broken out there.
Yeah, it's a very angular landscape. You know, a lot of steep up, a lot of steep down. There's mostly chaparral, shrub habitat on the lower and middle slopes, oaks and conifer trees in the higher elevations. And, you know, it's a place where there are a lot of canyons where the wind speed can be pretty extreme, especially in the Santa Ana winds like this. You know, this is one of the most extreme Santa Ana wind events we've seen in a while, and that really drives the flames.
And there's a lot to talk about there with these winds, also these relatively dry conditions, the dry winds, but the desiccated vegetation from a season where there hasn't been a lot of rain. What is it about this set of circumstances for this fire, these set of fires, that's striking you most?
Yeah, it's that combination of things, and you're absolutely right. It's not just the wind. It's the dryness. When you have the really dry conditions and you have the wind on top of that, especially extreme wind like this, those are extreme fire weather conditions. And you are going to have fires that spread, and there is no way to stop their spread because you're essentially trying to fight the wind. And that's not a possibility. And so what you can do is help people and their animals safely evacuate. And then, of course, in advance of fire season, do all the work to create fire-safe communities, home hardening, defensible space, keeping the focus on the communities themselves, evacuation planning, evacuation assistance. That's where our focus needs to be, not managing vegetation or removing vegetation or trees out in the remote wildlands. That doesn't stop fires, because these are fundamentally weather and climate events.
That's right. And speaking of weather and climate events, there's been a lot of conversation today about two aspects of this particular system, these mountain wave winds, and also what the National Weather Service has called particularly dangerous situation, a PDS warning with the red flag warnings that typically come from the NWS. Just talk about these two aspects of this set of circumstances, because it does feel like we're talking about them in a new way. Perhaps they're helping drive some of these disastrous fires that we're seeing tonight.
Yeah, so you know there are things that interact. You've got the ambient weather, which is the Santa Ana wind event, a very extreme Santa Ana wind event in this circumstance. And on top of that, you have topography. And so you have canyon effects that create extreme fire weather just from the topography, steep slopes, canyon, deep canyons, and that's what you have in these mountains north of Pasadena and north of Altadena. And then when you have the Santa Ana winds interacting with that in these dry conditions, you have a situation where the fires will spread, and it's not something that you can actually control or stop. And that's why, you know, we need to think of these things in the same way that we think of hurricanes, in a way, because they are weather events fundamentally.
You've written a book called Smokescreen, Debunking Wildfire Myths to Save Our Forests and Our Climates. And I think that's what you're speaking to when you talk about managing the risk and maybe some of the myths around that. What is it that you feel like we are learning from tonight that could be practicable moving forward?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I think tonight, really, in fairly dramatic fashion, it underscores the fact that these events are driven by extreme weather conditions that we can't control. And therefore, we should focus on the things that we can control and that we can influence, creating fire-safe communities. We know how to do that. It requires purposefulness. It requires resources. It requires policies that move us in that direction. Evacuation planning and evacuation assistance when fires happen. Focusing firefighting on the communities and directly adjacent to communities, as opposed to trying to stop a weather-driven fire from moving across the wildlands when it's being driven by 60-mile-an-hour winds, which is not possible. And so the point I think that's key here is that our current policies at the federal and state level are being focused on appropriating billions of dollars of taxpayer money to manage vegetation and remove vegetation, trees, shrubs, other vegetation in remote wildlands, mostly on public lands, with the thinking that that's somehow going to stop a fire from reaching a town miles and miles away. The problem is that that approach hasn't worked. It's been a failure, and these fires are spreading rapidly through these areas and then burning down towns. And so I think what we know now is we have to just focus on the communities and kind of shift away from these 20th century policies that are not working.
Of your thesis, and you're making some arguments in addition to presenting some evidence, and perhaps to some degree, one of your arguments about controlled burns versus just managing cities is being proven by what we're seeing with the Burnt Fire, because that is a residential area, and it's the flames are spreading in a way that is outside of even this canyon landscape. Chad Hansen, we really appreciate bringing your expertise to us tonight. You're the director of the John Muir Project of Earth Island Institute. Appreciate your time. We know it's a long night ahead.
Thank you.